All right, as we get started here, I'm going to look up my questions, but I know the first question. What are you guys looking forward to in going back to Taiwan? So we'll give each one of you the opportunity to share on that.
Well, I'm going to take a little privilege. I'm going to share two things. As when we first started this work, I had some verses that God gave me out of Isaiah that God was going to do something new. He was going to create a stream of water in the desert where it was dry. And that was a very special thing, and it's kind of carried me through. And I don't sense that it stopped. But as I'm going back this time, God's giving me Jeremiah 32, verses 38 and 39. And God's speaking, and he says, they will be my people, and I will be their God. I will give them singleness of heart and action so that they will always fear and respect me, and that all will then go well for them and for their children after them. And I'm really looking forward to seeing how God works that out for the people of Baojong, but also for me in my own personal life, because there's a wonderful promise in there about God doing good things in my life and in my family. And the second thing that I'm really looking forward to is we've been praying since before we began, before we went over the first time, that God would give us a Taiwanese pastor. And God is, after a time of discernment and everything, has worked it out. We've got someone that's coming to be a Taiwanese pastor for the church. So we will have a new co-worker, and we'll be doing a lot more in Chinese when we have team meetings. But hey, it's exciting, and I'm excited to go and find out how God's going to work that out, too.
Well, that's great. Kathy Lou.
I gave him my thing.
Okay, so you're doing it for both. Okay, so my next question then is, and I'll start off with you, Kathy Lou, is who are the people or who's the person that you most are eager to catch up with when you arrive back in Baojong?
That's really hard, you know, when you use something that's a most or a best or whatever, just to pick one thing. But we received a few weeks ago an email from one of the teachers at one of the schools from the kids saying, teacher, you've been gone a long time. Are you coming back? We want you to come back. We miss you. So certainly that's exciting to think about. They miss us too. And so, the kids, the neighbors, the friends, there's an awful lot of people there that we've known for a while. So it'll be good to be back with all of them.
I'm sure there's going to be lots of catch up. Yeah. Okay, Lauren.
Again, it's hard. I'm looking forward to seeing so many people, and for different reasons. And so, whether it be the church people, it's reported to me that some of them have grown in their Christian walk and are serving. One of JR, who you've met, he's actually helping to lead the worship times now on Sunday mornings, and there's others that were just on the fringe and now are more involved. And so there's lots of people.
Yeah, it's great to hear that God's still working, isn't he? Even though we're not necessarily there right now, he's still working. And we get to see what he's been up to. All right. What's your favorite God story from your time in Baojong?
Well, here's another one. It's hard to pick one favorite.
Okay, well, we can give you two.
But I think really the big kind of overarching thing that has been a God thing that really has touched my heart is seeing how he keeps giving the dream, the desire, the burden, and then he comes through and does the work. For example, a desire to go out and do Christmas caroling in the community as a means of evangelism. Well, God has brought that together, and now not only are we going out doing that in the community, but the other beginning work that's started by the Village Gospel Mission Group, we're doing it cooperatively, and so it makes a big statement to the community. How exciting. The seniors' residence, that we had such a burden for the seniors and went and prayed outside the security gates, and God opened those gates, and they've been able to go in all year but once a month and visit with the people. And, of course, the schools, the door opening at the schools as well. So, yeah, pick one God story. Oh, it's Hard.
Sometimes, you know, gates are just there so that we pray, so he can open them, right? Mm. And God can be glorified through that. All right, Lauren, give me a God story. I won't ask you for your favorite one, but I'm sure you've got lots.
It's interesting that when different members of our team or when short-term teams come and they want to go out and they pray in the community, that God directs sometimes the direction we go and who we meet. And sometimes we have in the back of our minds we would really like to connect with the person. We don't know where they live. We kind of know they live in that section of town, and that's about a month. And going over and how God arranged that day for Kathy Lou and Elaine to meet the mother of our neighbor in a different part of town. We'd never really met before. Or the pastor from Ottawa, Chinese Alliance Church out there, happens to speak the local dialect where we're working and was there on a prayer team, and they went out for a prayer walk. And as they were walking along the street, there's a couple having a conversation, and the husband is saying to the wife, "I'm so discouraged, things are going so bad, it's hopeless," and everything else. And the pastor was able to turn and ask a couple of questions and had an opportunity to share the gospel, to pray with them on the street. No, we can't really say that they're Christians now and they're attending our church, but we see God at work. And those glimpses of God at work, and our faith that God is going to complete what he's doing, is exciting.
You know, and sometimes when I think of that story, I think that God sometimes just asking us to take the next step, and he'll arrange everything else. He'll arrange those God appointments, and he's got them all in place. We just have to show up and hear him. That's great. Now, one of the things that we know in the area that you're working, it's not just the two of you that are working there. The CMA US is also working there. But we also have another family from Canada, part of the Christian Missionary Alliance, Albert and Elaine, who are co-working with you there. Tell us a bit about them, because we really don't know about this family, but yet they've really been holding down the fort while you guys have been gone and have been making inroads. So.
Okay, Albert and Elaine actually are right in the town where we work. Our other U.S. co-workers are in nearby towns, but in our town, Albert and Elaine moved down there in the summer of 2015. They had been touched by God back in 2012. Mm-hmm. No. Fall. Yes, fall 2012, that they needed to be obedient and follow him overseas. But what that was going to look like, they weren't sure. By August of 2013, they were in Taiwan and beginning language study, learning the Taiwanese dialect with their three children, Elise, Liana, and Nathaniel. Dad and Mom are Albert and Elaine. And they had some Mandarin in their background. They both have Chinese heritage. Had some Mandarin abilities, but they learned the Taiwanese, which is the heart language of the local people. And so they've come in, and we worked together for about 9.5 months, and then since that time they've been holding the fort. Now, when we get back, we have about 5 weeks overlap, and then they leave on their home assignment back to Toronto again. They're from First Alliance Church in Toronto.
Tag, you're it. All right. Now, let's talk a little bit about the church in Baozhong that is just getting going here. You know, they don't have a building like we do, like this. But tell us, like, what does a church service look like? Or what does that church service look like? You know, we're kind of curious what the church plant is like.
Okay. I can tell you what it was before we left. I can't tell you exactly what's happening now because we haven't been there for almost a year. But when we left, we would come in on Sunday morning and sit on the sofas and in easy chairs, rattan furniture in the front receiving room around the tea table, and we would sing some worship songs, and sometimes that would be accompanied by my ukulele, sometimes by Albert's guitar, sometimes we do sing along with YouTube. I understand JR that Lauren mentioned that he's using sing along with YouTube. That's his preferred method. of leading the worship singing. Aside from singing, we also have an opportunity to give financially to God as a signifying that he's in charge of our lives. And so there's an offering box that's there that's available to us. That's a part of our worship time. There is a time to pray for each other and to pray for the needs in the community. And there's also a time of looking at God's word together. And when we were there, it was more asking questions and kind of drawing out of everybody, what does this passage say? My understanding is with a little bit of increase and with the new intern coming in, that there's kind of more of teaching, preaching segment. Yeah.
Okay. And we now have, once a month, they have a potluck. And eating is an important part of any culture, but especially that culture.
That's true. And actually, we'll go to a commercial right now. There is the church picnic coming up May 28th. Anyhow.
I'm sorry I can't make that. Maybe next time you could, I'm on home assignment, you could plan it before I go back.
Yeah. But there will be a church service here before we go and have lunch. Okay, next question. How's the church accepted in the community? Like, what's the response?
Well, in case you haven't noticed, I'm a little bit of an egg. I'm yellow on the inside and white on the outside. And that means that they see the fact that I'm a foreigner. And so Christianity in some ways is viewed as the foreigner's religion. Not totally, because we do attract some help from Taiwanese to help us. And as we get more people in the church, we gradually change that. But that is one of the perceptions. Because we've been involved in community service, we're seen as being a benefit to the community. We're doing something that is constructive and helping. And so that has been positive. But they are still quite wary about what this really means, because they've heard many stories from people in the temple or other people around them, that if you believe in Jesus, you're going to have nightmares. If you believe in Jesus, bad things are going to happen to you. And so there is this creative tension that exists between us and the community. People are really glad for us to do things and help their children, especially with English, or to help them have fun. But to really say, I'm going to come and connect more formally and more closely with the church is very difficult for them.
So that's probably something that we can be praying about, is that there would be favor, especially on the spiritual side, not just on what they're receiving. So good. All right. So as you go back to Taiwan, there's lots of things that you're going to be working on. Just talk to us a little bit about what's high priority as you get back there.
The day that Albert and Elaine leave with their kids to go back to Canada, we will be receiving from Alberta a 17-member team.
Wow.
That's going to run a kids camp for us at Fusing School. And not sure exactly what that's going to look like, but we've got to get ready for them, and we've got to get the relationship back up with the school so that we can liaison between the kids and the school and so forth. Typically, we would not want quite such a large team, but in this particular instance, we didn't have control over the numbers. So that's really the very first thing that's sort of in our faces.
So when we went, we had groups of six.
That's the best.
So this is three times. Like, where are they going to be sleeping?
That's a miracle. A really special gift, yeah. They kept saying, well, we can stay at Albert and Elaine's. Well, they weren't getting the fact that Albert and Elaine's place is no more. They're moving out, and they're going back to Toronto. And so we were praying about it and saying, Lord, what do we do? And I said, well, you know, we can put them at my place. The biggest problem is not where they'll sleep, because we can put mats on the floor and so forth. The biggest problem is, where will they bathe? Because I only have two showers, and if you run them both at the same time, there's no water. So the miracle is that the other group, the Village Gospel Mission group, the couple that is has come from San Jose, California, is going back to California for a period of time, and while they are gone is when this camp is, and they said, oh, use our place. We've got rooms and we've got showers, and you're welcome to set them up at our place. And we said, okay, what should we give you, contribute towards the cost of that? And they said, this is God's house, God's gospel center. It doesn't cost anything. Let's just cooperate together. Pretty amazing. We just see that as really miraculous and a big gift.
So we will give them some money to cover the cost of water. They have 4 showers. We will give them money to help cover the cost of electricity. But that's how God works things out when we take things to him sometimes.
Great. Okay, the last question here. And I know that when you go overseas, there's things that you miss. So what special food are you packing with you?
I actually kind of laughed when I read that this time, because this time I don't think there's going to be room for any food in the suitcase. We're taking back clothes because we've both gotten big enough that we can't buy clothes locally in Taiwan. We have to take back 4 years worth of stuff, shoes and clothing. So
you're not taking back any Canadian maple sugar cookies?
If I had room in my suitcase, it would be a granddaughter going back.
All right.
It would be McDonald's coffee.
All right. Well, thank you for sharing with us. And the whole reason for you being there is so that people will come to know Christ. It's all about Christ, isn't it? It's not about just establishing a church, but it's establishing his church that will reproduce and others will come to know Christ. So thank you very much, and we'll send you back down to your seat. And that's what it's really about. It's about what Jesus has done for us. And we are eager to let others know about that. And part of what we do here in the church is on a regular basis, we remember the Lord. And Dave is going to lead us in that at this time.
So I can put my Bible down, not have it fall on the floor. I can remember I grew up in a Christian home, and so even when I was really tiny, Mom and Dad would take us all to church, and I can remember if we were misbehaving, I had Mom's bony finger on the top of my head, or Dad has his vice grip hand on my knee, which would get my attention, and this was typically during a remembrance service, or what we called then the breaking of bread service, or a communion service, as we call it here. And in those days, I didn't really understand the significance or the importance of communion. And I know that when we were in Taiwan visiting with the whites, we went to a church. Was it Sihu? Yeah, and we enjoyed communion with the believers there, and it's amazing. Around the world, people do this, and why do we do it? It's very important. I'm just going to explain why in a minute, but I just want to carry on with my story. So I grew up in a Christian home, but you know, you don't understand fully as a child what's going on, and you don't really appreciate, and you don't really understand some of the songs. And in our church, we had a 1 hour long communion service. Can you imagine? It was long. And it wasn't at the end of a regular service. It was a separate thing. And it got quiet sometimes. And you just, as a kid, it's very hard not to be squirmy, right? And I just, you know, we tend to get distracted. Our minds wander. And even as adults, we tend to get distracted by all kinds of things in our lives. You know, who's texting me, or what's this, or what's that, or what are we going to do for lunch after church, or, you know, so-and-so is wearing really strong perfume. You know, things distract us all the time, you know. And we get distracted from God and from the Lord Jesus. Our purpose here is to remember the Lord Jesus Christ. When we take communion, there are there are two different emblems. We've got the bread. Well, back in Jesus' time, they did not have it all broken up like this for us. They would break off a chunk, you know, and also we have, in this case, I think it's Welsh's grape juice, but there it would have been wine. We use Welsh's grape juice because there are some people that cannot take alcohol because if they have a problem with alcohol. And so not to exclude anybody in our church, we want them to take communion. We don't want them not to take communion. It's important to us. So we've used Welsh's grape juice or some sort of byproduct. But the meaning is there, okay? The meaning is there. And I want to read in Scripture. Jesus actually asked us to do this on a regular basis. So we've been asked. This is one thing he wants us to do, to remember him. And the emblems are just ordinary. I mean, just wine and bread. I'm sure everybody in that day could get their hands on that. That would be part of their probably daily meals. It was a simple thing. And he said, whenever you take this in remembrance of me. So we can do this every single day at home when we're taking this. Does our mind go to the Lord when we're eating a piece of bread or drinking some grape juice or any liquid for that matter? Do we think about Jesus? You know, and I was challenged by that this week as I was thinking about what I would say this morning, that the simple emblems were just day-to-day things that you would take in your meal. And we're supposed to remember him when we take this. But I want to just read what Jesus did. I'm going to start from where he told them to get a Passover feast ready. Now when the evening had come, and he was reclining at the table with the 12 disciples. So we get this picture of a big dinner table kind of thing. But I think in the East they would kind of have maybe cushions or something that they were reclining at. He said, "Truly I say to you that one of you will betray me." Okay, that was awkward. And being deeply grieved, they each one turned to each other and said, "Well, surely that's not I. I wouldn't do that." And he answered and said, "He who dipped his hand with me in the bowl is the one who will betray me." The Son of Man is to go just as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had not been born. And Judas, who was betraying him, answered and said, "Surely it is not I, Rabbi." And he said to him, "Well, you have said it yourself." So that was kind of a strange beginning, wouldn't it be, to breaking bread with Jesus. Called him out. He had been at the synagogue making some kind of a deal with the religious leaders at the time that he was going to turn Jesus into them. And then he left. While they were eating, Jesus took some bread, and after a blessing, he broke it and gave it to them, to the disciples, and said, take, eat, this is my body. And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." What does that all mean? Take, eat, this is my body. Was it his actual body that he was passing out? No, it was bread, but it was to remind them of his body. I don't think the significance of this was really clear to them because Jesus Christ had not been crucified yet. And all this going on was probably just really not really connecting with their brains at that moment. I'm sure that right after the crucifixion, when they were to reflect again on what he was saying to them, it would just come bang right back into their minds. What? That's what he meant, you know? At this point, they didn't understand. He had told them, what he was going to do, but they didn't connect. So at this point, I think they weren't really quite connecting with what he was saying. And when he's talked about his blood, he said, "For this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for you, for many, for the forgiveness of sins." What is a covenant? Well, we know that a covenant is like a promise. There was an old covenant that they had, and the new covenant would be when Jesus died and became a sacrifice. They used to have to go sacrifice sheep, and this is a Passover time, so it was very significant when he said this. They were to sacrifice a lamb, and that was to signifying the forgiveness of their sins. They had to do this all the time. So when he said there was going to be a new covenant, I don't think they quite understood that he was becoming the lamb for them, taking their place for their sins. Because we know that we all sin. And so rather than understanding this, they probably just, well, you know, they probably didn't quite understand. And then he said, "But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And then after singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. And this is where the events started to progress rapidly. This is when Jesus went into the garden and prayed and said, you know, "Lord, if you can take this from me, please," you know, and he knew the full weight of sin of all mankind was going to come upon him, and that he was going to have to bear the brunt of all the sin of our sins and anybody that sinned in the whole world, all people, taking all that upon himself so that they would have peace with God. They could be brought into God's family if they chose. And it's our decision. Our decision is to decide, are we going to follow Jesus? Are we going to accept the sacrifice that he did for us or not? We have this choice, right? So we're going to take this bread and this wine, and I want us to focus on a few things. What is the condition of our heart before God today? We're told also in 1 Corinthians that if we take of the bread and wine and we're not in an unworthy manner, that means is our heart is not right, or if we have something against a brother or sister, or if we've done something and we know that God is unhappy with us, that we should make this right first and then take of these emblems. That's very important that we do that. Because if we don't, there's some repercussions that could possibly happen. And the Bible talks about sickness and death. That's serious stuff, you know, when we start thinking about it. That brings into perspective how important this is in our lives. If we do this in a wrong way because we're not right with God, we shouldn't take it if we're not right with God. And now is a good time to bow our heads and start and make ourselves right with God so that we can do this. Because he's waiting for us to come to him and say, "Lord, I've done this, I'm sorry." Or go to a brother and say, "You know what? I've done this to you, I'm sorry." Or, you know, God will forgive us our sins because Jesus died for those sins, right? Anyways, I just want to read the song. I was still going back to when I was a kid, okay? And the song goes like this. I'm just going to read two verses. "Rise, my soul, behold, it's Jesus. Jesus fills my wandering eyes. See him now in glory seated, where my sins no more can rise. All my sins were laid upon him. Jesus bore them on the tree. God who knew them," that means he knew all our sins, "laid them on him," laid them on Jesus, "and believing, thou art free." What a beautiful thing. Jesus died and he rose again, triumphant over death, triumphant over all our sins, brought us into his family if we accept him. Why not? Let's just take these emblems now and look to Jesus. Look at his wonderful face, okay? I'm going to guess the people who are going to be serving us to come, and I'll pass these the bread. We're going to just pass the bread out to you. You can take it in your hand, and then we'll stand together, and I'll pray with us, and then we'll take the bread together, and then we'll do the same thing with the grape juice as well, okay? Okay.